right now. It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And if I go over here and I put these two things in the correct place, we should hear from both Cynthia and Ann. Good morning.
Yes, they're so different.
Hello. You guys?
Sorry. Yeah. Hello. We're having office conversations.
Now, you're having an office conversation. Hello. We were just having an office conversation.
This is the crazy. This is why live radio is so much more exciting.
Now, I think this is Janet on the phone. Let's find out. Janet, is that you?
It is me.
All right,
you know, that's
you know,
good.
Yeah, here we are. It's hard to drop things in February, isn't it? It's just things get harder.
Well, also, things get harder today, but I just, you know, I just...
They'll get easier eventually.
Sooner or later. All right. First of all, before we even get started with the show, and I mentioned this to Cynthia when she came in, your intern who worked with you last year, Ashley Baldwin, put up an incredible post that I found and reposted on Facebook. And she has developed into an amazing writer who, because she has knowledge, because she went to Housatonic Valley Regional High School, wrote an incredible blog post.
She's good. We're very proud of her.
She went to Housie, right?
Yes.
She's a Housie kid and a Lakeville Journal intern and takes care of Jill's cat. And a lovely girl.
Marshall's.
She was a winner of her Rotary Scholarship last year.
Yeah, it's just a terrific blog article that she wrote as a Housatonic alumnus, really. And it's amazing how many other Housatonic alumnuses have come out of the woodwork and responded to her. Young and old. So congratulations, you've trained her well.
Well, of course, we had a lot to work with.
All right. Well, let us go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal. They got rid of the Sunday, but they kept Friday and Saturday, and they had a very successful weekend. Record crowds on Saturday and near record crowds on Friday night.
Yes, and I didn't go. Actually, Ann was there and took some beautiful photos, and Patrick was there. And because it was going to be raining all day Sunday, they combined the 2 days of Jump Fest activity into Saturday, and then it started to rain later on Saturday. A little icy, but I don't think any records were set this year, but except for in attendance, which is great.
I couldn't believe I wanted to see how well Saturday was going to do, and about 12:30, I just pulled into the LeBron's parking lot to turn around, and the place was packed like I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, that's what Patrick's article says, is that people were parked all over the area. And Matt Kiefer had pointed out to me when I was at LeBron's the week before, donations go directly to the jumpers, but the gate fee on the weekend of Jump Fest helps pay off their loan to pay for the beautiful tower that we built several years ago for the Junior Olympics. So extra happy for them that they were able to really put a dent in that.
And what people don't realize, since they built that tower, they've put beautiful lighting in on the main tower, and now they've spent another $25,000 and put beautiful lighting in on the smaller jump areas. So now, when we have snow like we've had this winter, students can actually jump when they get out of school in the evening and continue to learn their jumping. And they even have plans to put an all-weather surface in on those smaller hills, hopefully within the next couple of years, so the jumpers around here who want to jump can jump year-round like they do in Lake Placid and other places and get the skills. I mean, they really have put so much work and money back into that site on top of building the new tower.
And I was surprised, and because I've lived here now for so long, I'm still surprised by how many people have never gone. Caitlin Hanlon from our office went for the first time this year. And somebody else had said to me, well, I'm not going to go. It's just some like little dinky jump. And it's like, this is a world-class jump. And it's a stop on the Junior Olympic Tour. And we've had people here who have gone on to the Olympics. And it's a very big deal.
The only thing that's bigger than their jump is the 90-meter jumps. But they have the 70-meter jumps at the Olympics as well.
Yeah, and if you don't, but what's so interesting is if you don't know that it's right behind
There it is.
Yeah.
If anybody has any doubt of how high that jump is, just walk up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, so there's a great picture there. And then, of course, right next to it, we have to say goodbye to George Kiefer, who, of course, was around for the start of all this.
One of the original great supporters of the Salisbury Winter Sports Association and of so many local things in town. The town tree warden, just a person that just knew stuff, was very active in civic affairs, quite elderly. We don't have his obituary yet. We're hoping that we'll get it this week. But really a pillar of the town, and died on Saturday night than, you know, after the ski jumping ended.
I did an interview with him years ago with Rosina Rand, and he talked about how ski jumping started off really the roof of a building.
It was the Warner's house. And actually, it was Judge Warner's house that the Buckleys had then bought for their antique shop. And Mrs. Buckley just died, I think, 2 weeks ago also. We had her obituary. And the kids were jumping off the roof. And the famous story is that one of the Satry brothers in Norway had come by and said, "You mind if I jump?" And showed him how to really do it. And that's when it took off. And there were other jumps. There was one in Canaan, too.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you hear the history of it. Well, anyways, our condolences to the Kiefer family.
Yes.
The other big story, which I shake my head at because I have stayed away from interviews on the Lime Rock situation because I have said to people, let's wait until the state decides on the first lawsuit. And the state has decided that they want to keep control of racing hours in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the casinos, I think, where they look at it and they look at the statewide perspective and they think, well, this could be some income for us. But so, of course, this affects Lime Rock Park here in our area. Many people are opposed to, I think, it's hard to know exactly what, I think they're fairly closed-mouthed about it, but they're very opposed to the Sunday racing, to expanding into Sunday. And I think that there's a lot of fear about what happens if and when Skip Barber sells that track. But so the immediate thing of this is Skip Barber had applied for some expansion. It's been in the planning and zoning. It had gone to the state courts. The state ruled that they're not going to change they're not going to relinquish their control over the racing regulations. So now the Salisbury Planning and Zoning Commission is going to go back to court and appeal that again.
And the thing, the state's never going to give that up. I mean, it's just one of the things, just like they wouldn't give up their control over casinos. They're not going to give that up. And the sooner that everybody realizes that, the sooner everybody can get together and sit down with the state and a judge and do some legal mediation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that'll come about, and we can talk about that later on because I do believe it's just an important thing for our area, really. It just should not be another thing that tears us apart. Speaking about tearing us apart, you've got a story by Patrick Sullivan about adjustments trying to be made to the new grading system that has kicked in along with, unfortunately, a new schedule in Region 1.
And we're still calling it the new rating system, although it's not actually new. It's finished one entire semester. But a lot of pushback on it in the last month, partly because the first grading quarter had ended with a lot of not yet proficients, although statistically in this article, the principal, Jose Martinez, kind of gives a comparison of how many kids were getting D's and F's versus how many are getting what's called the not yet proficient or the NYP. But a lively discussion of it at the Region 1 board meeting.
And it will continue, and it will continue.
It will continue.
All right. I like that. Hats tossed, some stovepipe style, at the Lincoln Day dinner in Kent.
It's a tradition for the Republican Town Committee in Kent to have Republican candidates come, and I guess some other party candidates come. And I guess a lot of people are lining up for governor for replacing Dan Malloy when he steps down for the next election. Lots and lots of them there. And they were given special consideration if they wore an Abraham Lincoln-style hat. They call it the annual Lincoln Day dinner.
All right. And over to the left, highs and lows of maple sap by Tim Abbott, Nature's Notebook.
So Tim, of course, always makes maple syrup in his yard. I was very encouraged to know that people are already starting to tap, because to me that means, even though I keep saying to people, don't kid yourself, winter is just starting. We've got quite a ways to go. But whenever they start tapping the maple syrup, that makes me feel like, well, you know, there's an end in sight. And, of course, George Kiefer, famous maple syrup maker, and, of course, his son is continuing that tradition.
All right. Now, I have a question for Anne before we move on. And that is, when you're taking pictures, okay, let's just go to the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. I was always amazed when I used to do the music for the snowball, the age. I don't think people realize the age of the children. They are children, even though they're adults, that are jumping. When you take their picture and they're jumping and they're in their full, you know, you can't tell. Well, are you as amazed when they take off their helmets and stuff and you see the baby faces?
They're just little babies, but they're flying through the air.
It's a sport for the young. I remember when there was a guy who would come who was like 81 and he would jump.
Well, they still have jumpers that go up to that, but it's really amazing. And you look at the pictures, and Andy, your pictures are gorgeous, and you just they look like Olympic jumpers, and they're high school kids.
just so you know, Marshall, there's only one picture of mine on there. These were taken by lots of people, and I always joke that when I photograph ski jumps, I could just use the pictures from 5 years ago and no one would know the difference. Because they all, you can't see their faces.
Now, speaking about pictures.
But we didn't do that, by the
no,
way.
No, we did not do that.
And I do, and Anne was nice to point this out. We have so many talented photographers who generously went out on, you know, in mucky weather and took these incredible photos, including Anne, who took some beauties, including one from the target jumping into the lights.
Yeah. All right. Speaking about pictures, I love the pictures of the dwarf goats in South Kent School.
From Lance Christensen, of course, who did some beautiful photos at Jump Fest and got some of them with their helmets off, as you were saying. And you really do. They really are, you know, they're quite young. But yes, beautiful goats. We'd said we'd been doing a lot of puppies. We'd had a lot of people sending in photos of their puppies in the snow. And I said to the staff this week, I'd like to see something else, some other kind of animals. And actually, Elvia Genoux and Gordon Whitbeck over at We Talk Farm have got some baby animals, which is also a nice sign of spring.
All right. On to page A3, the Chocolate Festival in Kent.
And again, Lance Christensen, such a great photographer, and just captures the different looks that these kids have. You know, either they're confounded by all the choices, or they're just like, yep, here's my plate, I'm going to eat all of it. So another wonderful fundraiser for the Kent Scholarship.
All right. And I talked about this at the end of last week. Kent is considering, once again, electing its Region 1 representative. Kent and Cornwall, the only two towns that don't elect.
And, of course, it was Falls Village not that long ago that was the first town to say, we want to elect our rep. And the other towns, after some consternation, sort of have seen why it's logical for them to do it. I was a little surprised in Elise Atler's article about, so they went to the Board of Selectmen because this is an ordinance change that has to go through the selectmen. I was surprised they actually were fairly, often towns will be very discreet about whether or not they're unhappy with their rep, but there were some...
they weren't discreet in Canada.
Yeah, there were some, they were expressing some unhappiness with their representation.
All right. Right below the chocolate story is a great picture of it. We're trying to learn a history about a family.
I know. We love the way that Bernie Drew laid that out, which is exactly the way we got it, against one of those old black sheets that they used to have in photo albums. Peter McCarron and a group of students from the Salisbury School are trying to do a history of black families in the Northwest Corner and are using this wonderful cache of photographs that Peter found when he bought a house on Farnham Road. So they're looking for information on this one family, and we'll continue to put photos in the paper as they seek new information.
A nice little story about Patrick Sullivan talking about the classes and AP classes. Six AP classes will be kept at Housatonic.
Right, and of course AP class is important as you're moving on to college, and we're very excited when our high school students are really looking toward their college careers. I was interested in the classes, or the topics that they have for advanced placement, which includes environmental studies but not history. So I think that they are really paying attention to what the students are interested in and making sure that they get support in that.
I want to go to page A4 because I've worked with Pam Peters on a couple of audio projects, and there she is with the students at Sharon Center School.
She's a riot.
Ego hero. Oh,
she's funny. Okay. She's Belgian. She has this wonderful accent. She's so beautiful. It's just fun to sit next to her. She's, of course, married to my friend and dentist, Martin Nguia, and she has this Echo Heroes program. And, of course, you know, Dr. Nguia, well known as an Arctic explorer, his work on narwhals, and she's an environmental economist and is working with school children to help remind them, you know, as we learned in the 60s, it was all about, like, protect the environment, reminding kids today they have to protect their environment, don't throw out plastic in the oceans, et cetera.
And Lee H. Kellogg School had their Invention Convention Science Fair.
Right. That's another sign of spring, not to keep harping on the spring thing, but always interesting what these kids in a very practical way look at the world and see needs improvement.
All right. And out of Winstead Shaw, grants decrease, but schools ask for flat funding.
We have a story coming up for next week where we did a statistical analysis from information from the state's municipal fiscal indicators. And you got to say, boy, something about Winstead makes you really appreciate how much better we have it in our six towns in the Region 1 school district. It's always interesting, and I think people really should read these Winstead stories to kind of see what they're struggling with there in terms not only of funding, but just the confusion about how their schools are set up, but how they're kind of struggling through it under their new regional school superintendent, Melanie Brady Shanley.
All right. Great story, and I think more people should read this because I'm not sure they get confused. on co-housing, which drew actually 50 people to the Sharon Town Hall.
Yeah, very interesting idea. It's from Scandinavia, as so many progressive ideas are. Lynn Gaffney, who's an architect in the area, actually trying to get a bunch of people to get together, buy some land, and then everybody owns their house around it. And it's kind of like the Prince Charles idea of you don't only have rich people or old people or young people in a good community. You want to have a mix of all different ages and abilities. So she's read the article and by Leela Hawken and see if that's interesting to you.
All right. Right below that, solutions for traffic and pedestrians in Salisbury.
And, of course, the center of town in Salisbury, you know, concerning two bad pedestrian car incidents in recent years, and talking about the lockup and how hard it is to see as you're coming out of some of those side streets around Salisbury Town Hall.
It's funny. If I go into LeBron's, I'll go into LeBron's on Academy Street, but I'll come out by the Scoville Library because it's just much safer. It's just a much safer exit.
And you know, that library street, a friend of mine got in an accident coming out of there too. It's a little tricky there.
Yeah. Nice to see the story with Dick Sears and Jerry Doolittle talking about.
I feel like there was supposed to be a third person at that talk too. And of course, I know, I just love the word hobos. I feel like any story with the word hobos in it is a funny one. But Dick Sears and Jerry Doolittle actually rode the rails when they were kids. And I would say neither of them is that old. But it's really a different era in America. And talking not just about like, oh, it was so fun and it was so romantic, like it was dangerous. And they talk about some of the dangers of it.
I used to ride the trains when I was a kid.
Oh, my gosh.
You did?
Yeah, because my father was in show business.
Oh, my gosh.
And we would fly out on these old planes, and my mother would have to literally get intoxicated to get on a plane.
I bet.
So finally, my father just said, you know what? I'll put the family on a train. I'll fly out. And so we used to go from New York to out to Vegas and stuff via train.
But you didn't hop on the train as a hobo does.
No, but
you had a ticket. Okay.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Yes.
I wish I could afford to do it today.
Yeah, it's expensive to ride by train.
Well, it's not expensive. I need the time.
Yeah,
time
it is expensive.
Right.
It is expensive.
But anyways, there's something about trains that is just great. Now, I think your next story that we're going to talk about, it has to be a great story because you're talking about bubbles and truffles.
I know. It's so funny. Again, Winstead, the things we don't know about our near neighbor. 12th annual Bubbles and Truffles, and it's always a fundraiser for a local event, and this year it was for the playground at the local school.
And on the obituary page, you have the obituary for Gail Tunsing and also an appreciation letter for George Kiefer.
From Molly Fitzmaurice. And, of course, Gail Tunsing, formerly a reporter in the area, very active in the Region 1 school district, somebody I spent a lot of time with, and she had Parkinson's disease. So our condolences to her family and to all the families who have lost loved ones.
All right. And we move on to the sports page. And, Jump Fest and curling for the Olympics.
And I want to say the really good story about curling is in Compass this week, and Anne will talk about it, but John Torriello had been over at the curling place in Norfolk and was chatting with John Barbagallo about what to look for. So John gives a couple of predictions but says, you know, come to the Norfolk Curling Club. There's a lot of events. The best way to learn about it is to come watch it. The schedule of that is in that story.
All right, we'll go on to the opinion page. And Janet, this is where your editorial, a lengthy one, Lime Rock Park negotiations, time for a new direction.
Right, and it referred, as everybody will know who is aware of what's going on around here, it refers to our front page story this week and last week and this ongoing conflict with neighbors of Lime Rock Park and the town. And, you know, it just seems as if all parties have dug in their heels and don't see a way forward after the judge's decision. It's a fascinating decision. We have it up on our website for anybody to read. Go to the end of the article from last week, and it's there to click into and read. And very well thought out, very carefully worded. Take a look at it and, you know, form your own opinions. But it just seems that everyone has preconceived notions about this now. It's becoming like the Middle East. We just can't see a path forward, and it's time to redirect and try to think of one. If anyone cares about what happens in this region with the business community as well as with quality of life and recreation, you know, take a read and let us know what you think.
All right. Now, I have to credit you guys at the paper because when I was a teenager, I used to wait every day and then every year buy the calendar. Gahan Wilson was one of my favorite. I still look at them every day and laugh. And now one of the first things I do when I get your paper is I go and I look for Peter Steiner's cartoons.
Excellent. Yes, we are so fortunate to have Peter Steiner of Sharon, a well-known cartoonist, sharing his cartoons with us, with all his neighbors, and we are always interested to see ourselves what he will comment on that week.
All right, and right next to that, the funniest president in U.S. history, question mark.
Question mark, and so guess who it is, and take a read. That's Dick Ollis. Just so everyone knows, after next week, Dick Ollis will be taking a vacation. He'll be down in Florida, and I suppose not writing a word, so we'll miss him, but we always love to have his thoughts. We also have Ralph Nader on wrongful injury, on which he's an expert, and Martha Miller, also an expert on tax law, and a beautiful photo of Snowflakes by Ann Day.
I look at the Martha Miller letter, and I just posted that I was doing my taxes, and I looked at my income statements from of my two jobs from the first month, really, of the tax cut. And I get $8.88 more a month. And I just posted that.
That's lunch.
And you know what? The amount of responses I got pro and negative were amazing.
Yeah, it's something we have to prepare for. Of course, the new tax law applies for your 2018 income. But it's good to be prepared. And that's what Martha does in this column, actually. She comes up with different scenarios and applies the new law to them and shows us the difference.
All right, I want to go to this story. Towns now see a need to grow their economy, no doubt about it.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of, we have all of these economic development committees, and we do need to support business. And very quickly, let me just do the wedding showcase, because Alexander Wilburn, who is doing some of our special sections, did a beautiful story on Kathy Weigel, a lovely person from Lake Villain, about how hard it is when you're the mother of the bride. Everybody's thinking about the bride's dress, but up here in this area where we're all more in the mother age group than the child age group. Alex did a beautiful story about the dress that Kathy found and how you can find everything you need very chic up here in the northwest corner.
All right. And now let us go on to Compass.
How many minutes do I have, Marsha?
Oh, you have about 3 minutes here. Three and a half minutes.
That's a
lot. I mean, this is a lot.
Because your clock, your stopwatch here is not working.
That's right. It's just a 000.
We have our lead story is an interview with Andre Aciman, which Alexander Wilburn, the really talented writer, did. Andre Aciman, for those who don't know him, and I didn't before, is the author of Call Me By Your Name, which was then turned into a film, which has been nominated for 4 Academy Awards. And Alexander was quite taken with the film and reviewed it for us a few months ago. And he was really interested to meet and talk with the author, which he did. I think he did it by phone, but
he went to his house.
Oh, he went to his house. In any case, he did a long, interesting interview, which is definitely worth reading, about the author and how he decided to write this book and so on. Then we have a review of the blockbuster Peter Rabbit by C.B. Wismar. And my headline says it all: This Bunny Is Not Just for Kids. Which actually I think was Leon's headline. But in any case, it's a good review, and looks like a good movie that even I would want to go see. And then, I'm sorry to anyone who's not obsessed by curling, but it seems like America is obsessed by, how much they don't want to see curling on television, and it's been overcovered. So we thought we would join the rest of the nation and overcover it in our newspaper. But we do have a very good story which describes what curling is, tells us what to look for in the Olympics, and, it's just beginning. Really, the mixed doubles are over, but now the really big competitors are going to be competing in the Olympics. So if you don't know anything about curling, read this piece, and then you'll be obsessed with watching it.
I think you should do a story on curling like my father would love to see, and that is, you don't have to be a curler to go to Norfolk to enjoy curling.
That's right.
You can go there, and you can sit at their bar, and you can watch them curl.
That's right.
And you're not a drunk, you're a sportsman.
That's right, actually.
Right. Well, you actually have that opportunity. Anne has, at the end of the article, there's an open house coming up you know, free to all unless, you know, there's a fee to actually curl. But watch everybody curl. It's really fun. There are a lot of people around here who love curling. It's because, you know, we do have that center in Norfolk. And it's a great sport. It's fascinating. Well, of course. We find it fascinating to watch at my house.
As do many Canadians.
Yes.
Exactly. And then we have a review of a film which is on television. I think it's on Netflix. And it's the biopic about the founder of the National Lampoon, Doug Kenny. And he was a brilliant guy who had a kind of sad life. And that's a film that Patrick has reviewed. And that's all I have.
Well, if you're going to see a movie, I saw Three Billboards last night.
Oh, you waited a while, huh?
I'm on Papageno, and you know what? It was great because it really surprised me that three different points were. Nowadays, you pretty much you watch a movie, you can figure out where it's going.
Yeah.
Not this movie.
Yeah.
Not this movie.
Yeah, we reviewed and that a few months ago.
Was he trying to get you to watch it?
What?
Was Papageno trying to get you to watch it?
Yes, and I finally watched it when I finished work and I put on the TV yesterday and saw the horrible things that were going on. I said, I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah.
And so I watched it.
How do you have a DVD of...
I don't like it. Amazon.
Three Billboards is on Amazon already?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Maybe I'll watch it. I didn't see it.
There's a whole new world happening with content and distribution.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Amazon.
I think all the Oscar nominees are on available
that's right.
Live streaming.
Amazon and Netflix have saved my life this past year.
And how much do you pay for that?
Amazon is $10 a month, and Netflix is $10 a month, and Amazon it just comes with the Prime membership.
So that's $80 a year.
$100 a year for the Prime, and you get free delivery on your stuff too. Yeah.
All right.
So that's what it
is. All right, great ad for both of them.
That's right.
But does that mean that just out of curiosity that you can cancel Comcast? No, you can't, right?
No, you have to have Comcast.
No, I've curtailed my Comcast. My Comcast bill, I've curtailed.
I'm just wondering, are we in the land of adding, or can we?
All the movie channels are gone off Comcast. Gone. Goodbye. I don't need them. They're useless.
Agree.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much,
guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for the education.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. You can find them on the web at tricornernews.com, also on Facebook and the old-fashioned way, newsstands and home delivery as well with the paper itself.